Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I've really been enjoying this program. As I said earlier, we have great staff members coming on, helping me out. And it's really, really coming in handy. This last couple of weeks, my voice, for some reason, seems to be taking a beating. I don't know what it is. More so since I came back from New York. I think it might have had something to do with flying high in those planes and depressurization and stuff like that. But anyway, as promised, you people coming in, we normally do the drop the napalm, the white phosphorus, the hellfire and brimstone on the first hour. But we had other guests on. We had to switch up tonight because of guests. And just the way scheduling goes, our different co-hosts and guests, they have schedules. We all work for a living and do other than this. We don't make millions of dollars like some of these Substack people like Don Wassel was talking about. But anyway, as promised, we have my younger brother in arms, Will Franklin. We had Don on a minute ago. And we're going to drop some. And when I say napalm and hellfire and brimstone, we don't do it just for the hell of it. We're talking about solutions here, folks. Solutions. And there's only one solution, and I think everybody knows what it is. But anyway, how you doing tonight, Will? I'd like to thank you so much for coming in, brother.
I am doing well, Eddie. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming through loud and clear.
Awesome.
You know, we talked earlier about, I don't really think we're just going over old ground, because I know when I was with the political cesspool, I used to tell James and Keith and them, I said, we don't repeat things enough. We hit a hot topic and then we'll never revisit it. Well, people learn by, repetition. As a matter of fact, I think it was Don Wassel, just in the last second hour. He said that, you know, these red hot news items, for instance, that go on his web. He has a online newspaper called AmericanFreedomNews.us. It's great, great, great. You could do 2 years of show just off of one issue. But he said they'll have these red hot news articles, for instance, like Doge. Stuff, things like that, and all of a sudden you never hear from them again. They just disappear.
That's right.
In America, our attention spans so weak. But I would like to ask you, and I want to interrupt the program. I would like to ask you to revisit what we talked about last week. The theme, people call it like a meme. I call it a theme. This country is definitely, it's almost down. I'll say I can't see any way how it can come back. Well, I do see it's by God Almighty can bring us back, and it won't take a majority, because God really never works through the majority, I don't think. But if you will that theme, revisiting how we're being stomped down, the jackboot of these illegal aliens are on our neck, and go revisit why it's that way, and please reread that excellent scripture, because it tells exactly where we are right now, if you don't mind. So go ahead, Will.
No, I don't mind at all. And I'm working off the premise of understand when I refer to God's people, I am referring to the followers of Christ. I'm referring to Christendom. Jesus came. That is the new covenant that he spoke of. So understand, when we study Old Testament, we're talking about God's commandments, his laws, his edicts, his rules, his commandments for us. Jesus Christ fulfilled those. And we as Christians, those that are called by his name, those rules, those laws, they apply to us. Those commandments apply to us. Jesus didn't come to abolish those. He said that. He said he didn't come to abolish them. He came to fulfill them. And Eddie, in the book of Deuteronomy, it is clear as the nose on your face, black and white. There is the commandments that we are supposed to follow, the blessings that come to those that follow those commandments. But it also talks about the curses of what happens when a nation, and I want to drill down on what nation means too, Eddie, but when a nation turns its back on God, when a nation turns its back and snubs its nose and says that it will not follow those commandments, that it will call those things that are good evil and those things that are evil good. And specifically, Eddie, what you were referring to that we briefly talked to about last week in reference to these invaders, these racial strangers that have been thrust upon Christendom across the world. It is clear in Deuteronomy 28:43 that when a nation turns its back on God, what it says in Deuteronomy in verse 43, chapter 28, is the stranger who is among you will rise above you higher and higher, and you will go down lower and lower. And if that's not happening to us right now, Eddie, I don't know what in the world is. I mean, we are living in the fulfillment of this scripture, this prophecy that was written. And I want to just, if you don't mind, Eddie, before we talk about that, I want to dig a little deeper, because there may be those people out there that say you're talking about one verse out of one chapter, out of one book of the Bible, Will. Well, you know, you go a little before that and you look at verse 32 and verse 33 of Deuteronomy 28, and it says your sons and your daughters will be given to another people while your eyes look on and long for them constantly, but there will be nothing you can do. A people whom you do not know will eat your produce of your ground and every product of your labor, and you will never be anything but oppressed and mistreated continually. Eddie, if you look at what's going on in Europe, all across mainland Britain, Ireland, if you look at France, if you look at Germany, if you look at Scandinavian countries, and if you don't even have to look over there across the Atlantic Ocean, look right here in our backyards. If you don't believe that these bastards have given our sons and daughters over to these racial strangers to do with them what they wish, if you don't think that this SNAP and food stamps, and if that's not our produce and our wealth being given over to these invaders, I don't know what is. And this is as a result, Eddie, of, and you know, I'm a broken record. I'm going to tell you, I wish I could point my finger at the Eskimos in Alaska. I wish I could point my fingers at the Inuits in Canada. I wish I could point my finger to the Aboriginal people in Australia. But Eddie, none of those people are the guilty party. There is one thing that happened to us when we started following the misguided teachings of Cyrus Scofield, and we blessed that nation, yes, in 1948 and started worshiping at the altar of the Zionist Jew. This is when Christendom started falling like a lead balloon, Eddie. And we have gone lower and lower, just like the book of Deuteronomy says, that we go lower and lower. Those aliens go higher and higher above us, and we are truly reaping what we sowed.
You know, that, and I text you today, or could have been yesterday, but I think it was today. And I said, that's one of the reasons I wanted to read that Bible verse, was because, and you read it last week, and it just, I tell you what, it would just set me on fire. It's like that guy was watching 3,000 years into the future, and he described exactly what is happening right now. The strangers in our land are rising higher and higher above us. They are taking our sons and daughters. You see, the race mixing is just off the scale. That's true. And you know, you mentioned the SNAPs. I forgot how many, 42 million people on so-called SNAPs. I was listening to, who was it? Was it General, Colonel McGregor maybe? They're talking about the plan. That plan, which originally put into place, would be kind of like a safety net for American workers. But it's anything but that. And they gave the breakdown by percentage of each ethnic group, its own SNAP, getting food stamps. And it's very, very few white people are on it. I mean, it's just from various African nations, from India, various Mexico, Central America. It's just pathetic.
Eddie,
and we're paying for it. And they're taking the treasure from us. We're feeding them. But go ahead, DeWill.
This was the plan all along when it comes to social welfare. If you look at the Great Society experience or experiment that LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, put forth when he was in president after the murder of John F. Kennedy. If you remember, Lyndon Johnson, who was the president during the USS Liberty, whose top advisors were Zionist Jews, who he was having an affair with a Jewish honeypot. This guy was the guy who solidified our so-called love affair with Israel. Welfare came out of this guy. Lyndon Johnson is the progenitor of welfare. FDR and the New Deal is not what we're talking about, folks. We're not talking about the CCC, you know, camps, the Tennessee Volunteer, you know, the TVA and all of that. Those were work programs where you worked for a paycheck. You know, this is what we're talking about is cradle to grave welfare. And the cradle-to-grave welfare system that was created during LBJ was never created for the white man. It was created for the minority so that they could rise further and further above us.
And with that, we have to come to a quick break. We need to come back to that as soon as this break's over with. Folks, it's a real quick break. No, you can't be gone long.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Tell you something, boy, if I did give you power, you got nothing. Nobody gives you power. Real power is something you take.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I thank you so much. I'd like to say this right here. I like to put the stamp on every show at least once. We have a lot of intellectuals on this program, and there's nothing against intellectuals. I like them. I like education. I would like to read if I had more time to read. But let me tell you, folks, we are not, if you look back in the Bible, and Will is a lot more better versed in the Bible than I am. But if you look at back in the Bible and think about how many times that I'm not talking about the modern day so-called Israel that is just them, but a bunch of Ashkenazi Jews. I'm talking about the ancient Israelites. Every time they would screw up, they would get thrown into captivity. All these horrible things would happen to them that Will just got through reading out of the Bible, out of the scripture, and they would cry out to God. And after a while, after crying out to God and praying, God would bring them out of captivity, restore them, and then they would turn their back and start sinning again. But anyway, the point I'm getting to, the Israelites, the ancient Israelites, how many times do we see where God commanded them to go into this kingdom and wipe out every living man, every man, every woman, every child. It's in, I think in Samuel's day, and Will knows more about this than I do. I got to shut up quick. I got to be quick. Samuel lost the kingdom. I know Will can correct me if I'm wrong, because he did not kill everything. He tried to save of the cattle. He tried to save the leader, the kingdom of a particular state. He didn't do it. He didn't put everything to the sword. And I'll end this right here. And I've told some of my other friends, oh, well, God was so unmerciful. I don't believe in the Old Testament because, you know, that surely a good God would not kill everything. Well, yes, he would, because some of those people, they were beyond evil. Their evil was, you can't even imagine how evil it was. And the final point is, to get this country back, people, we're not going to be able to do it peaceably. There's going to be blood in the streets. We're going to have to mount to fix the bayonets. Whether we win or not, it depends, in my opinion, on whether or not we can turn to God and have pretty much a great revival here in this country. And I hope I'm not going too much in circles. But anyway, I'll kind of go off of that, if you will, Will. And anything, I know you want to talk about some other stuff tonight, too. But go ahead, Will.
Well, no, I want to go right along with what you're talking about, Eddie. And I'm going to – Blood River Radio is all about solutions. Eddie has beat that in my head. And as far as what we're talking about, there is a solution. You know, we're talking about what, you know, these curses are in Deuteronomy 28 for our people. But there's answers. There's solutions to those curses. And Eddie was just hitting on them right now. But before I read those solutions, I want to drill down on what a nation is. I think so many times that we've been brainwashed with this idea that a nation is a government. A government is not a nation. A nation is a group of people. It is an ethnostate of people. And when you hear nation, don't think about a government or a body of elected officials. Take a good look at the backside of your forearm and look at the skin that you have, and you can look across the Atlantic Ocean. You know what? Somebody's got the same color skin as you do, but it's not just that. They also have the same culture and the same religion and the same heritage as far as their upbringing. That is your nation, and our nation is white people. We are the Anglo-Saxon, Germanic, Scandinavian, and kindred people. That is our nation. And if you look at what our people did, we were Christendom. We brought Christ throughout the world. And when we did that, when we were following those laws and those edicts and those commandments of God Almighty, we were following what he told his people to do. Eddie, we reaped nothing but blessings. All across this world, the sun never set on the British Empire. All across the world, Christendom existed. And then we stopped. And we turned our back. And now you see, turn on any news broadcast, all you see is what was formerly empires and kingdoms of Christ. Eddie, they've crumbled. And they've crumbled because they turned their back. But God Almighty has told us this. Remember, Jesus Christ said that we would be persecuted for his namesake. He also said that he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And in Chronicles 7:14, God Almighty said, "And my people who are called by my name," Jesus Christ echoed those words, "and my people who are called by name, if they humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." People, what Eddie tells you as far as blood in the street, it's coming, but I'm going to tell you, God's people have been called time and time again. Do not believe in this peaceful, hippie, pacifist bullcrap that comes out of the pulpit. From the beginning of Christendom, we have been called as warriors for Christ. All through Scripture, the imagery is there of soldiers and warriors for Christ to pick up our armament and our battle gear and go to work. Throughout the Crusades, throughout the Holy Wars, even the American Revolution, the American Civil War was a holy war, Eddie. It truly was. And our people knew what we were called to do, and we were not afraid to die because we were more afraid of offending the God of nature, the God of all, than of dying. And we have to return back to that, Eddie. There will never be change amongst our people as long as we cower down to those who supposedly rule over us. There is no king but King Jesus. And until we get that right in our life, and you realize you should be much more fearful of King Jesus and his judgment than any judgment or any man on this earth. That's your solution, Eddie.
Amen. And, you know, you mentioned so eloquently that a nation is not, and I would say it's not a piece of land. You said it's not a government. But in people that, if you want to use scripture people, people out there, authorities, if you go back and you look at what they talked about Israel in the Old Testament, he was talking about a people. He was talking about the ancient Israelites. I don't think there were 12 tribes, but he wouldn't talk about those tribes outside he wasn't talking about a nation outside the 12 tribes of Israel. In fact, they were constantly, you're right, they were constantly at war. Did they ever have a 15-year period of where they were not at war? They were just endlessly killing these pagan bastards at the command of God. And I know I'm repeating myself. But that's the reason Saul lost the kingdom. That's the reason it was handed over to David. There was a song. I can't prove this, but there was a song the ancient Israelites said. And one thing that really made Saul mad, they were singing, well, Saul killed his thousands. But or I'll say hundreds. Saul killed his hundreds, but David killed his thousands. David first made his first big reputation by killing. He killed a giant. He killed Goliath. I mean, that's just facts, people. And I'm telling you this to show you can steel yourself. And just like Will said, don't listen to these mealy-mouthed, weak-spined, hippie ministers that talk about peace, and love. That's not true. A friend of mine just think yesterday talked about how he admired one of his friends with the that had the big tent philosophy. But I would dare say Jesus did not go to the big tent philosophy. It doesn't say, and I don't have that scripture, but I bet you do, Bill. I bet you know it by heart. It said in the scripture says, all liars, all cowards are right there at the very top, all adulterers, all backbiters, all thieves, all, it goes on and on and on. They will not get into heaven. They will see the hellfire and brimstone. Well, that's pretty much what you call a big tent, you know, adulterers, thieves, murderers. We don't need to bring all these people in and associate with them. If that's your big tent, it could be a big tent. I would say a big tent is probably multiculturalism. And I ain't with the big tent. That's why we don't make a lot of money on this program right here, because we don't have the big tent. But I'd just like to reiterate one more time that to steel yourself, even if I am repeating myself, you know, you need to get the beans, band-aids, boots, and bullets, and get yourself into shape. And I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. But people, I don't think it's coming. I don't think it's too far off, Will, because these people hate our guts. Go ahead, Will.
No, I wanted to say something real quick because you mentioned the three Bs, you know, the beans, band-aids, and bullets. And I say four boots, Bs, because you need a set of balls, too. No, balls. You need a set of balls.
Five Bs.
And we need to start there you go. And what you were, Revelation 21:8 is what you're talking about. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practical magical arts, the idolaters, the liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. That is where they belong. And I got real quick, I know we're coming up to a break,
so
Eddie, but I want to make
just
a couple points.
Jesus didn't go for the Big Ten.
No, he collapsed the Big Ten, Eddie. He came. There was a Big Ten that was in existence, and that was the Pharisees and the Sanhedrins, and he came and pulled the tent down. I mean, that's what he came for. That was Jesus's ministry. I don't care what anybody says. Jesus's ministry was a ministry of rebellion. There is no doubt that he came, but he came for the lost sheep, the house of Israel. He said so many, many times. He did not come for the Jews. He specifically said he did not come for them. He talked about their government. He talked about their immoral ways. He talked about their Jewish fables. He talked about their sorcery. He talked about all that stuff, Eddie, but he didn't revere it. He reviled it. He came to collapse the tent of what the Jews had done to God's people. And he did, and he did so successfully too. But just super quick, I want to hit this before we go to break. Well, there's the music. I won't be able to hit it.
There's the music.
I'll pick it up when I get back.
And I would just say during the break, before we go to the break, as we're going to the break, the big God collapsed the big tent. It's called Solomon Gomorrah. Be right back, folks.
There you go.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall. I'm Mary Rose. President Trump has removed some tariffs on food imports amid concerns of rising prices. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
In a bid to lower the prices of some grocery items, the president ended U.S. tariffs on beef, coffee, tropical fruits, and a wide range of other supermarket staples. It's a dramatic reversal from a tariff policy that he's repeatedly claimed didn't make items more expensive for American consumers. But Donald Trump admitted to reporters that in some cases, tariffs may increase prices. It remains to be seen if or by how much prices are affected by the move. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Justice Department has sued to block California's new congressional map. Correspondent Ben Thomas reports.
On November 4th, California voters approved redrawn congressional boundaries that could give Democrats a shot at gaining 5 U.S. House seats. About a week and a half later, though, the Justice Department's filed a lawsuit challenging the new map, joining a case brought by the California Republican Party. Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom pushed hard for the new boundaries, saying it would counter a Republican-led effort in Texas backed by President Trump. Two other Republican-led states, Missouri and North Carolina, have also redrawn their maps to boost GOP chances. But California's redistricting is the first and so far only effort being challenged by the Justice Department. I'm Ben Thomas.
Parts of Southern California are being drenched by heavy rain as millions were under a flood watch. The National Weather Service says rainfall at rates of 1 inch per hour is possible in the Los Angeles area, where officials warned of possible flash flooding and potential mudslides, particularly in areas recently burned by wildfires. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In today's fast-paced world, professionals face endless projects, deadlines, competition. To thrive, you need mental clarity, sharp focus, and reliable memory. That's why the same company that brings you Relief Factor created ThinkFactor. ThinkFactor is designed to help you think clearer and perform better daily. It's a powerful blend of nutrients that supercharges your memory and sharpens your focus. You can stay on top of your work and outshine the competition. After a couple of weeks of taking ThinkFactor, I noticed a dramatic difference in my clarity, my focus, even my memory. And you know what? The longer you take ThinkFactor, the better the results are. If you've ever felt mentally foggy or struggled to keep up with everything on your plate, well, ThinkFactor can help you reclaim your cognitive edge and thrive in your life. Call 800-4-RELIEF, 800-4-RELIEF, or visit ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, to order ThinkFactor. Call 800-4-RELIEF or visit ReliefFactor.com. Your first bottle, just $19.95. ThinkFactor. Think clearer, perform better daily.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory.
Some folks are born made to wave the flag. Cool, they're red, white, and blue.
Napalm. I wouldn't exactly say it smelled like victory, folks. I'd say it smelled like something else, and it didn't smell like victory. Anyway, folks, thank you for honing in. We're going to go right back to Brother Will. We said a lot of times, but it's just as true as it ever was. If you could only tune in to some of the conversations we have during the breaks, I think we have some of our best conversations. Sister Monica used to say, we should just shut up and save it. But people like us, we can't shut up. But anyway, go back to you. Go ahead, Brother Will. Take off on that, what we talked about during the break.
Yeah, you bet. Eddie was talking about Israel. And he was talking about the Israelites of the Bible, and I mentioned during the break to Eddie, isn't it odd that the modern state of Israel, you never hear the citizens of that country refer to themselves or anyone else refer to them as Israelites. They are always called Israelis, even though Israeli is never mentioned in Scripture. You will never find that in Scripture where the citizens of Israel or the people of Israel are referred to as Israeli. And the reason goes back to what we were talking about before, Eddie, and that is because Israelites were men and women of the nation of Israel. Those were the people of Israel, and those were the people that were chosen by God. These people who call themselves Israelis are the people that Jesus spoke of in Revelation 3:9. And it what it says is, and I know your tribulation and your poverty and the slander by those who say they are Jews, but are of the synagogue of Satan. So the Jews that we are dealing with now in modern times, those are the ones that are doing the bidding of their father, the devil. Those are the synagogue of Satan. Those are the ones that Jesus said they call themselves Jews, but they aren't Jews. They're not Israelites. As a matter of fact, if you break it apart, if you really look at what the word says with Israeli, it's Israel lie. They're Israelis. They're lying about it. They are not Israelites. And that begs the question, Eddie, of who are the Israelites? What I can tell you, it's not Benjamin Netanyahu and his people that are over there. That's not who it is. These are Khazarian Jews that are nothing but modern-day Babylon that have convinced the world that they are something that they are not. And so I don't know if the listeners have ever thought about that, but they are not Israelites. They've never called themselves Israelites. And the reason why they will never call themselves Israelites is because their God, their father, the devil, hate the Israelites, because the Israelites were God's people. They were the people of the book, and they would never call themselves the people of the book.
You know, this may be kind of a little rabbit trail, but you've hit on something that reminded me. We used to listen to this minister years and years ago, but I tell people in my other life, I used to gamble a lot at the casinos down in Mississippi, but years ago, before I started running marathons and stuff like that, there was a minister, I wish I could remember his name, he was out of Waxahachie, Texas, and he used to talk about the exact thing, same things you're talking about. This may be a rabbit trail, but I tell you what, this really interests me. He was talking about, Will, that there's places in Scotland, in Ireland, but I think specifically Scotland, where you can find these huge stones with the names of heads of the ancient Israelite tribes. Mm-hmm. I think one of them was particular. Well, I think one particular member was the tribe of Dan. I believe. I think there was a tribe of Dan.
Yep.
I'm not versed on. I'm certainly not a Bible scholar. But he was talking about at least one. Of the tribes of the, I think there was 12 tribes, is that right? And had escaped, had gone over across into England, into Scotland. And I know this is far off what we usually talk about, but when you were talking about the Israelites and who's Israelite, who isn't, and it took me back to this pastor. He's long been dead. But you're exactly right, and I used to tell people I wasn't heavy into Christian identity. But I'm going to tell you what: if you look around, and this is strictly anecdotal, there's only one race in the world that's really hated by all other races. Now, no one likes a black. No one likes a nigger. I mean, that's just true. And like I'll say, if you want to get desensitized, people, if you don't like nigger, don't listen to this show because that's what they are. If you have to live around these people like I do, if you fear for your life everywhere you go, and if you defend yourself against them, then you're the one that's going to go to jail. You won't be too long. You'll be calling them niggers. I promise you. But anyway, that's one. No one likes a nig. No one. But there's only one. There's only one group of people on the face of the earth that's singled out for extinction, and that is the white race. And it's just like Dave Gehry said, it is always Jews all the time. If you said that earlier, Will, you made a reference to all these bad things happening to us in this here country, you know, the us white people. It's always a Jew, the Jews behind this illegal immigration. And I don't think we did this on the air. I think we did it during the break, but you probably know the percentages better than I do. This 42 million people on SNAPs on welfare. I think it was Colonel McGregor talked about that. These welfare programs were originally put into place for white people, for our citizens. It's just like a safety net. But now they're covered up with every race in the world. He even singled out by percentage the number of some Haiti. From the Dominican Republic, from El Salvador, off and on and on. And that goes back to what we talked about. I hope I'm not repeating myself too much. These people, are just these foreigners, these non-whites, be sapping our strength, eating up our substance, mixing with our sons and daughters. I'm alluding back to the Bible scripture, but I'm taking my own advice and just trying to pound this into people's head. Lord knows I learned by repetition. But anyway, talking about solutions, you nailed it right from the get-go. We've always tried to pride ourselves in solutions with Blood River Radio. I personally would like to do this if I could find enough time. I'm running this by you, Will. I've tried to hunt down a Dr. Edwin Vera. He was just when I was a political suspect. He wrote a large volume. The guy is in multi degrees.
About the militia.
Yeah. I had that whole volume. I don't know what happened to it. There was like a set. He called it the Constitutional Militia of the Several States. Well, not to get too complex, but I'm thinking, what could Eddie Miller, AAK Papaw, AAK, St. Jude Hero, what can I do? Maybe I could start a small, just a county-wide militia and try to make it. You have to get something legalistic or the feds would come down on you. You would probably have to have a sheriff involved. You'd have to have a sheriff leader. But to see here in Mifflinica, in Shelby County, we have a black sheriff. But I know that's probably another rabbit trail, but that's something to do. I can't think of anything else to do. It's going to come to a fixed bayonet, so to speak, rhetorically speaking, in the streets. I don't know. What do you think about that, Will?
I think Edwin Vieira had it right. I mean, a constitutional militia has never been the National Guard or a State Guard or anything. It's always been the people. That's how it was intended from the beginning, villages, neighborhoods, taking care of one another and that sort of thing. In more modern times, the sheriff's posse, that's what has happened in the past. Of the sheriff has been able to raise and deputize folks and administer justice that way. But even outside of our own land, Eddie, we saw like during the Croatian wars, the Serbian wars, those people raised up militia out of necessity, and you had neighborhoods bonding together. And I think really that's what you, in my opinion, I don't know if you read, there was a guy, I'm going back 30 years, Thomas Chittum, wrote a book called The Coming Civil War. And he talked about the whole idea of the Balkans wars would probably be what it looked like next in the United States, where out of necessity you would have neighborhoods banding together, but it would be along racial lines, and because that's what happened in the Balkan wars, and that was the last true civil war amongst European people. So when you look at the United States being a European nation, in modern times, that would be what we would have to kind of say that's what it's going to look like. So I think it will look like that.
Well, that, I can't believe this. Can you believe this hour is three-fourths of the way through? We'll revisit that, and you just echoed some of the things that Jason and Rob talked about. So we'll talk about that as soon as we come back from this break, folks.
Step into the boots of the American West with Range Magazine, where grit meets grace. This is a front row seat to the stories, struggles, and triumphs of ranchers, farmers, and stewards of the land. From jaw-dropping photography to no-nonsense reporting, Range brings you the untold tales of life on the range. Whether you're a city dweller with a cowboy's heart or living life where the pavement ends, Range speaks to the soul of the West. Subscribe today at rangemagazine.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Are you ready to stand up for your community and support your local sheriff? Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dear Blood River Radio family, before we go back, let's see, I'm really excited, folks, I really am. Before Will's going to give us a history lesson, is something I got his memory, pricked his interest. What he was talking about, the various Balkan wars, Balkanization, that brings to mind General Nick Glasnovic. We used to have him on our program. Friend of mine, I hadn't heard from him in years. He's in Croatia now, but he actually fought in the War of Croatian Independence. There's a long story there. I won't talk about too much of that. But Jason Robb has talked about many of the things that you've talked about, Will, about how, you know, who the true people of the true Israelites are, the true people of God. And he also said, just like you said, that this country is probably going to become, before it can ever be reinstituted as one nation, it's going to break down into balkanized area. That's why they're trying to fortify their little areas up there in Arkansas. But anyway, just thought I'd throw that out there. But listen, you have really got my interest. Tell our people about what you talked about what happened in Scotland in 1320.
Yeah, Eddie mentioned something then. He was talking about the Scots and their connection to ancient Israel as Israelites. And what this actually comes from is there was a letter written in 1320. It was April 6, 1320. And it's called the Declaration of
Arbroath. My birthday, April
6. Perfect. It was meant to be. I don't think you're probably not 1320, but as old as you are, it wasn't then. But the Declaration of Arbroath, and what this was, is it was a group of Scottish barons and Scottish nobility that wrote a letter to the Pope that was in office at the time, basically saying, we're Protestants. We're not going to, you know, put up with your mess here in our country. But what they did was they listed out their lineage of the ancient Scots. And one of the things that they talked about, Eddie, was that their people descended from Greater Scythia, and the Scythians were a group of people that were in ancient Persia, North Persia, which is Iran, and those people were in exile, and they left that region and crossed the Caucasus Mountains into modern-day Russia. And those are the people, Eddie, if you remember, we talked about last week, the Rus people, the Viking people. Though, if you've ever wondered, if the people are listening, why we are called Caucasians, it's because these people, the Scythian people, went into the Caucasus Mountains. Well, Eddie, in antiquity, they are described as tall, light-skinned, red hair, blue-eyed, thin people. Well, that sounds like me. That sounds like you. It sounds like our people. It certainly doesn't sound like Iranians. And there's many, many pictographs and sculptures that show these people, and they are very European looking. Well, the Scots, they claim this as their heritage. They claim ancient Israel as their heritage, and it would make sense. It would make sense. All through Scripture, you see references in the Old Testament and New Testament as Israelites being described as stiff neck and stubborn and that sort of thing. Well, I can't think of more of a stiff neck and stubborn people than maybe the Scots. I think that fits. But what I was talking to Eddie about, and Eddie, I'm going off on a rabbit trail, but I think it's important. I want to say it. I want to talk about the idea of missionaries. And this all comes from the Great Commission of when Jesus Christ sent his disciples out. And you know, we've been taught in Sunday school in our Baptist churches or whatever, put a dime in the missionary box. We got to feed the poor little black kids in Africa and teach them the good news about Jesus Christ. Well, I want to talk about what the Great Commission actually was. And if you want to stop and think, if Jesus intended on his kingdom to be built upon these Jews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the ruling class, why on God's green earth did he send his disciples out everywhere but where he was? Because if they were trying to save them, if he was the Jewish Messiah, wouldn't they have just stayed there and tried to convert the Jews? That's not what they did. He sent them out. And many, many times in Scripture, Eddie, Jesus said, first off, when he was asked by the Pharisees of who he came for, he said, I came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The lost sheep of the house of Israel, not the found sheep, not the ones that were known that were in Judea at the time. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel because they had been scattered. And when you hear Gentiles, that means nations. It doesn't mean other than Jews. It means nations. And Eddie, if you look at where the apostles were sent, the rock of the church, Paul was sent to, or not, I'm sorry, Peter was sent to what is now Italy. And if you trace where they went, when you see in the Bible, they talk about the Galatians. Well, that's Gaul. That's France. And they were sent to Greece. That's Ephesus. And they were sent to Europe, Eddie, is where they were sent. The apostles were sent to Europe. The reason why they were sent to Europe, Eddie, is because that's where the lost sheep were. Jesus knew it, and that's where they went. And when they went there, Eddie, they went to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus told the apostles time and time again, my sheep will know my name. My sheep will know my name. And the reason why we will know his words is because God's people have the law written on our heart. We are made in the image of God. His word, his truth, and his law is encoded in our DNA. And when our people heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, we knew it instantly. We knew that this was our Savior, Eddie, and that is where Christendom came from. They didn't convert the Judeans, the Jews that were there in the sandbox. They went to where God's people had been scattered, and that is where Christ Church came from, and that is where we went. We went all across the world. Christendom came from Europe. Now, if you want to put that in modern day, the reason why they hate the white Europeans, Eddie, is because we fulfilled Jesus's plan. We took God's word across the world. In the very beginning, when God told Abraham that you will be the father of many nations, and your people will bless the entire world, and your people will be more than the grains of sand or the stars in the sky. If you look at the Jews, Eddie, there's never been more than a handful of them throughout the time and on earth. From the history of time. If you look at our people, Eddie, our people were innumerable. We were many tribes. We founded many nations, and only one group of people fills that Abrahamic covenant, and it's the white people. We blessed the entire world. The white people did. Not the Jews. The white people fulfilled God's promise to Abraham. We are of our father Abraham. We fulfilled that promise. We bless the entire world. We are innumerable across all seven continents. Eddie, there's only one group of people. I don't care if it's dark Africa or Australia or freaking Antarctica. There is only one group of people that lay claim that we are across every ocean, every sea, and on every landmass. It is the white European people. We conquered the world and fulfilled what God promised to Abraham. And if you want to know why the Jews hate us, they hate us because of his namesake, Father God's namesake, Jesus Christ's namesake. It's not just on the tips of our tongue. It's written in our heart. The law was written on our heart when you were born. And I'm going to say something. The Jews don't have that. The blacks don't have that. The Asians don't have that. And I want to make sure, because there's going to be people that yell at me, I'm not saying that they can't become Christians, but there's a huge difference between intent and extent. And I'm preaching a little bit right now, Eddie, forgive me. The intent keep preaching, of God brother. Sending the intent of God sending Jesus here was to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And to fulfill God's promise to Abraham. That was the intent. And the spilling of the blood of the Son of Man was so great that when the veil was broken, the extent of that blood reached out to everyone else. He only came Bingo. From one group of people. Jesus Christ said so. But the blood of the Lamb was so great, Eddie, and so miraculous that it was able to save everyone else. But don't mistake the plan. The plan was for his people, and that's us. And I will argue that to the day I die, Eddie. And there's plenty of people that know more than me, but I'm going to tell you, I'm a red letter revival guy. I know what Jesus Christ said, what my Bible says that is a credit to Jesus Christ, and what I just told you is what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ didn't say that he came for the starving black kids in Africa. He didn't say that he came for the Jews in the temple. He came for one group of people, Eddie. And here is why this is important, folks. The fellowship with God Almighty had to be restored through Jesus Christ and his blood sacrifice so that we could fulfill the Abrahamic Amen covenant to that. Of saving saving the rest of the world, because that was what we were put here for. We were put here to bless the world.
Well, I tell you what, it'd be harder to top that. I would take, on one or two other occasions, I've taken us out on a prayer, but we've run completely out of time. It feels like saying a prayer, but we've run completely out of time. Thank you so much, Will. You did a stellar job. I really enjoyed that history lesson, brother. I really did. It fired me up, brother. I hope our listening audience did too, our listening family did. Well, people, we've run completely out of time. God willing, next week, will it be the 22nd? We'll be here, same place, same time, only be a different date. Don't be late. Thank you so much, Will. Thank you so much, Paul and Don. And thank you, Miss Braveheart. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Jeremiah. Thank you, audience. Good night, everybody.